Welcome to Victorious Parenting. I'm your host, Arabella Hill. Now's the time to transform your home life and make parenting a breeze by learning and applying new strategies. Let's get into it. Hi, beautiful parents. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about controlling your emotional responses to external stressors and stimuli. So what does that mean in layman's terms? It means I'm going to be talking about emotional regulation versus emotional dysregulation, the ability to cope with stress. And I'm going to not talk about the large stressors in life in this episode. I'm going to be talking about the small stressors in life. So the small stressors in life, they can be driving on the freeway and someone cuts you up, or someone merges without indicating. Perhaps they weren't going to cause an accident, but they just didn't fully follow the rules. Perhaps you go to buy a coffee and you ordered, you know, a certain type of coffee and you got something slightly different. Perhaps you went into the supermarket, you bought some food, and then you realize you were shortchanged a few cents or a couple of dollars. Those are what I'm talking about in this episode. Those small stressors in life, they can compound and they can build up over time. Small stressors such as, I don't know, like external noise from your neighbor. And I'm not talking about them having a party. I'm just talking about when you live in a very small area, perhaps you live in an apartment block or you live in a detached home and you can hear sometimes banging on the wall. Maybe your neighbor really isn't banging on the wall deliberately. It's just them living their lives. And because we're all so living close together, you can hear it. Those are small stressors. Perhaps you ordered something and what you ordered wasn't quite right and you've had to send it back. Small stresses in life, right? We can all agree those are small stresses in comparison to large stressors, which is like your house burning down, a divorce, sickness or illness or death in the family. Those are really large stressors. You know, your child grows up and something happens, they end up in jail. That would be a large stressor, for example. Those are really large, stressful situations that require a different perspective and require different emotional skills in order to cope and deal and resolve those issues. So small stressors in life, they can be annoying. They're more like little annoyances. Think about as if you're on the beach and you're getting stung by like tiny little mosquitoes, you know, every now and then. It's annoying, but it's not going to change your life much. It's not going to completely derail you. It's not going to ruin your life because, you know, the soy latte you ordered is actually full cream milk. You know, unless of course you're lactose intolerant, then it may actually just derail your day, but it's hopefully not going to kill you. It's not going to ruin your entire life, right? Let's talk about a different stressor. You're on a website, you purchase something. There's clear instructions on the website. For whatever example, you didn't see the clear instructions or didn't read them, so you didn't follow them, and something happened and your experience on that website wasn't what you thought it was. And you go and chew out the person who owns the website without second thought, without thinking. You just start telling them that they're a scam artist and all of this other kind of thing. And the website owner then replies back to you kindly, nicely, in a professional manner, and literally gives you the same instructions that were already present on the website. So then you finally go, okay, I follow those instructions, and then, oh, you were right. You're not a scam artist after all. I just didn't follow the instructions. How about when you buy a coffee and, you know, perhaps you go to Starbucks and you say your name is, I don't know, Katie, and they write Kate or they spell it incorrectly. I know a few people who get pretty triggered by that and would go and then chew the person out because they've done that. you know, and instead of thinking, well, perhaps they didn't hear you correctly or they're really busy and overworked, you know, we're talking about these small stressors. When we say them out loud like this, it can kind of sound a little bit ridiculous, can't it? Like, you're really going to get angry and upset for something small like that. This person made a mistake at Starbucks or with your coffee. Perhaps you said, can I have an extra packet of sugar? And they forgot to give you an extra packet of sugar. I have been in situations in public where I have seen patrons chew out the customer service representative because of either they didn't hear them correctly in the first place, like the customer, they didn't follow the instructions that they were given, or the teller just simply made a human mistake. And this person's going on a rant and they're raving and they're saying that you're trying to get at me and things like that. I've seen that kind of behavior. That is called reactive behavior. When I have been in the car with people in the past where we're just driving along the freeway and, you know, someone has merged without indicating and they're like screaming and ranting and carrying on. I have had people do that to me on the freeway before, and it's very annoying and it can be very dangerous when people do that. It's extremely frustrating. But how are you going to deal with these situations will determine how you would deal with the larger stressors in life that can occur. Perhaps you won't ever experience your house burning down, or you won't experience a divorce. Perhaps your child's not going to grow up to like commit a crime or something like that, you know, but perhaps something happens, you know, there's a sickness in the family, or, you know, there's a financial crisis. All of a sudden you lose your job, or your husband loses your job, or your child grows up and moves out and they lose their job, or something happens, which has happened to a lot of people in this last year. So many people have lost their jobs. So many people have lost their businesses. Those are really large stressors. And those are very difficult things to cope with, because the consequences of that can be very prolonged. And it really, to overcome that, requires something completely different inside of you. Now, if you're a person that is reactive, that is going to react to the really small stresses of life, like the little mosquito bites in life, you know, you can't find a parking space at work, or, you know, you asked your husband or partner or somebody to put the little sun visor up on the car and they forgot, and you go back in the car and the steering wheel's hot and you can't touch it. You know, perhaps you asked, you know, your older child to take out the trash and they forgot, they didn't. You know, these are not stressors that is going to derail your life, derail your child's life, derail your parenting. These are just everyday annoyances. And if you react to those everyday annoyances the way you would react to a huge stressor, that you would just go off the rails. I have met some parents, and I know some of them, who will go off the rails at their children for simply leaving their shoes at the front door when they should have put them in the little basket or put them in their room. And they will rant and rave at their child. They will scream and call them lazy. You know, why didn't you do this? Why, you know, why haven't you put your school backpack away? Why didn't you take out your lunchbox when I told you to? What's wrong with you? And they will start labeling their child. They'll start putting something on them. They will overreact to these things rather than taking a step back and saying, you know what, perhaps my child was absolutely exhausted and they just simply forgot. It's not that they are lazy or defiant. It's that they're a human being and they're just trying to navigate the world, and they're growing at such rapid rates. Sometimes they may not have heard you. Yeah, I very much doubt your child deliberately decided to 100% defy you, like, no, I will not put my backpack in my room. I'm going to get my mother. I'm going to do this against her. 9 times out of 10,
Your child is not thinking that when they are doing these things. 9 times out of 10, when someone cuts you up on the freeway, they're not thinking, oh, I'm going to get that person. I'm going to like near enough cause an accident and really stress out their day. 9 times out of 10, when somebody that you purchase a product from makes either an honest mistake or that the mistake is in your hands, 9 times out of 10, it's not them saying, yeah, I can't wait to scam you. Oh, I'm going to get your money. I'm not going to give you a soy latte today. I'm going to give you like an espresso. Yes. Yes, I've got that person. 9 times out of 10, those people are not doing those things in order to get you. However, if your reaction is that over the top, like, why did you do this to me? Why are you doing this? Why are you so lazy? How dare you shortchange me 5 cents? Are you trying to take my money? How dare you get my name wrong? Are you deaf? Can you not hear me? What's wrong with you? When you have those kinds of reactions, what you are communicating something. If you've heard anything that I've said before, that all behavior is communication. And what you are communicating is that you are feeling helpless, you are feeling powerless, you're feeling that this person has done something to you, you feel that you are not in control of your situation, you feel that this person, whatever they did, has deliberately done this specifically to get at you. That is what that behavior is communicating. And what that means at a very deep psychological level is that you have perhaps very ranking high in neuroticism, which is anxiety at the very core. Perhaps you have a very low trust level of other people in society. And perhaps that you have an issue with emotional regulation. Because what happens when you react to those small stressors in that way, you become emotionally dysregulated. And now, when you can see from everything that I've just explained to you, the solution and the answer to those stressors, someone just making an honest mistake, you not reading the instructions and just misunderstanding them, your child just being tired and just being a kid, they forget sometimes. Sometimes you have to remind them 10 times. You know, maybe it's a communication issue between you and your child. Perhaps you're asking your child at the wrong times, or perhaps you're not structuring your language in a way that they can understand the value of what you're talking about. For example, I like my son to put his shoes away and not leave them at the front door. That's because our front door area, the hallway area, is very small. And if I come in and out, I'm going to trip over them. That's the why behind why I'm asking you to do it. I'm not just asking him to do it because I'm being mean or harsh or strict. I'm asking him because we can all trip over this and it's really, really annoying. So when I ask him to do that, I always explain the reason why I'm asking him to do that. I'm not demanding. I'm not being authoritarian, like, you will do this because I am your mother and you will listen to me. And if you don't, you will get in timeout, or you will, you know, I will take your PlayStation away or whatever, or you're a lazy person if this is the case. You know, that is emotional dysregulation. That behavior in itself can lead to really bad health outcomes for you personally. Not just you, your home. You actually break the peace in your home when you react like that. Even if you react like that to other people in front of your children or your partner or your friends, or just say you're at Starbucks and you're acting like that and you're on your own, you are creating an environment inside of yourself that will permeate in a toxic way to everybody that you love within your life. Instead of just swatting away the little annoyance and maybe taking a step back, seeing it from another perspective, instead of calling that person a scam artist straight away, perhaps emailing them or messaging them or calling them and saying, hey, I purchased something on your website and I had an issue with it. Can you advise me of what's going on? And then that person would get back to you and advise you of what's going on. Instead of chewing the person out at Starbucks or the coffee shop for getting your name wrong or not giving you the extra packet of sugar, perhaps you can step back and say, you know what? They're probably really tired. I'm tired too. This is why I need coffee. And going back up to the teller and saying, hey, you forgot to give me an extra pack of sugar. Can I have one now? And they'll be like, oh, of course. I'm so sorry. Here's your extra pack of sugar. Problem solved, right? You can see the differences on how this will be resolved. These little issues will be resolved over time and they compound upon each other. If you're putting emotional dysregulation out into the world, you are going to reap emotional dysregulation from other people in your own life. Your kid will then start shutting down. They're not going to want to listen to you when you're ranting and raving and screaming at them because they made a simple mistake. They're going to feel really bad about themselves and their self-confidence and their sense of self-worth will be diminished because you've just called them lazy for something that perhaps was just a small mistake. Other people in your car, they're going to see you as like a rageaholic. If that's how you react to really small things on the highway, that means they're not going to really open up to you about the things that are important to them because they're scared and worried that you're going to react like that to them. I put a post out there on the Victorious Parenting, Facebook group. I put my post out there on the Victoria's Parenting Facebook group and it's under units and I talk about this as to reasons why your child won't open up to you. And this is a good reason why your child will not communicate with you and will not open up with you because perhaps they see you flying off the handle at these really small stressors and they're scared because in their mind it's like, okay, if mom gets upset about an email, mom gets upset about someone getting their name wrong at Starbucks, or mom or dad gets upset about someone just cutting them up, I am not going to bother them with the things that I'm going through because I don't want to upset them. And that is why your child will keep secrets from you. That is why your child will lie to you. That is very good reason. It's not all the reasons, but that is the strongest reason of why your child will lie and keep secrets from you is because they feel they cannot trust you with their own truth because perhaps they are worried about what you are going to say and how you are going to react to it. Now, you don't want your child to keep secrets from you and you don't want your child to shut down because children who do that will often end up in trouble. And by the time you know it, it's too late. And they're already reaping the negative consequences from that. You want an open communication policy in your home. So when your child is going out there in the world and they're hanging out with friends and there's kind of peer pressure, hey, don't tell your mom this, we can just do this and things like that, that you've built a moral integrity within them that will be triggered when they are in those environments, that you have built an air of communication, open communication within your home, that when something is bothering them about something that's happened outside the home, either at school, among their friends, or whatever, perhaps it's mental or emotional within them, that they will talk to you about it, that they will approach you about it, and then you can talk through with them about it because they will trust you that you will not go off the handle and call them lazy and start labeling in them and pushing them down and things like that. And that's why it is so important to learn how to become emotionally regulated as parents. You're here on this podcast because you want to learn new parenting skills. I have a lot of parents come to me and they just want a new tool, a new strategy, but 9 times out of 10, They are failing to look within themselves. External change does not come until you change your internal environment. What you look for in life, you will always get. If you are hardwiring yourself to look for problems, you will always reap and look for problems. For example, you go on a website, you don't know this website, it's the first time you purchase. Perhaps you're a little nervous, you're not really sure like how it's going to go because you've heard about people being scammed on the internet before, right? So you make a purchase, you already are priming yourself before you make the purchase. You already have a level of neuroticism and or anxiety about the purchase because in the back of your mind, you have this lack of trust, right? That's normal. I feel that too when I go and buy something from someone I've never bought them before. However, when something goes wrong, and it has for me too, I've purchased things on people's website and all of a sudden my internet connection shuts down and the browser closes and I go, oh my goodness, what just happened? You know, I have purchased things from people's websites where I've not received the product within the specified time. And I thought, hang on, what's happened here? The difference between dealing with a small stressor in a positive or a toxic way is this. The positive way is looking at it from a different perspective. Okay, was it some instructions that I didn't follow? Was I not communicative enough with my child? Did I not articulate myself properly to the teller at Starbucks? Or you can look at it from a different perspective. Perhaps my child is tired. Perhaps the person at Starbucks didn't hear me and it's really noisy. Perhaps the person at the checkout just made an honest human mistake and it just chalks it up to that. That's how to deal with those situations in positive ways. So if you buy something on a website, you want to deal with it in a positive way, in a calm manner, you write to them and ask them, hey, this is the experience I had. Can you let me know what's going on? The Starbucks, hey, this is the experience I had. I asked you for an extra pack of sugar. My name is Katie, not Kate. What's going on? Your child, hey, do you remember that I asked you to put your backpack away, but you didn't? What's going on? You're asking questions. You're becoming an investigator. If you've read my book, The Ultimate Guide to Promoting Positive Self-Esteem in Children, I talk a lot about becoming a detective, putting your detective hat on. You're asking questions. And the way you deal with things in a toxic way is that you don't ask questions, you actually accuse. Hey, why did you call me Kate? Are you an idiot? Are you trying to get at me? Are you trying to say something about me? Why didn't you give me my extra pack of sugar? Gosh, no wonder you work in a coffee shop and not in a bank or whatever like I do, you know? That's labeling. That's putting something on someone or saying to the person at the checkout, what are you trying to do? You're trying to scam me out of my money? Or say to the person at the website, you're a scam artist. You're putting your own issue, your own label on them before you've even discovered what the problem is. You're putting a label on your child, you're lazy, you're belligerent, you're defiant, before even discovering the root cause to the issue. Perhaps they're not defiant. Perhaps your child is not a strong-willed child. Perhaps you are not communicating to your child in a manner where they can see the value in what you are asking them to do enough for it to resonate with them, despite the fact they feel tired, so that they will remember to take that action even when they are tired. When we forget to do things, it's just, I forget to do something. But 9 times out of 10, when you build a habit, you don't forget to do it. So perhaps you haven't taught your child how to build a habit of putting the shoes away or putting the backpack away or whatever it is that you've asked your child to do, taking the trash out. Perhaps you haven't built a routine around it or articulated enough the value of doing that for them internally. If you are constantly reacting to the small stressors in life at a level 10, then when you face the real level 10 stresses in life, like divorce, losing your job, losing your business, financial crisis, your house burns down, someone robs you, you get in a car accident, something that's a level 10 stressor in life. If you react at a level 10 to a level 1 stressor in life, what do you think is going to happen when you experience a big level 10 stressor in life? Where is there left to go in your emotional range? If your emotional range is to hit a 10 when you're dealing with a small stressor in life, how do you think you're going to react when you deal with a large stressor in life? Where is your range going to go? It's going to go beyond. You are going to have then a mental health crisis. You're going to cause yourself so much stress and so much pain and the other people around you that literally psychologically what this does is cause a blindness in your perception. And I'm probably butchering this name, what this is called in psychology, but it's called like a scotoma or a schema. And basically the term is that something can be right in front of you. A solution can be right in front of you. It can be so simple and can be so easy, but you don't see it because all you are looking for is the problem. You are focusing on the problem. The state that your body is in a tensed and stressed state. Your focus is just on the problem. So you will not be able to physically see the solution. You will literally give yourself a solution blindness. You will be blind to the solution to your problem because the state you are in and the focus that you're focusing on literally shuts down that part of your brain. And so instead of being able to say, oh my goodness, how am I going to deal with this? Calm myself down, breathe, and sort through my options, you will reach beyond a level 10. You will give yourself a migraine, a heart attack, a mental health crisis. You will have a breakdown. You will cause everyone around you to feel that stress on that level as well. And nobody is going to come up with a solution in that environment. And that is why I'm talking about this today. And that is why it is so important to understand, to emotionally regulate yourself when you are going through the small stressors in life. You ask yourself, is this going to derail my whole life? Is my whole life ruined because someone cut me up on the freeway or someone called me Katie instead of Kate or my child left their backpack at the door for the billionth time? Is this going to ruin our entire family because this happened? The answer is no. Your life is not going to be ruined. Okay, take a step back. Take a deep breath. Learn how to deal with it. How can I communicate to my child better? How can I get my child to see the value in what I'm asking him or her to do? How can I show that stressed person at Starbucks a little love today? I tell you what, folks, when you give out love, you will receive love. When you give out good emotional regulation responses, you will receive that in return. And that, my friends, is what happiness is based on. That's progress in life. When you give out positivity, you will receive positivity. It doesn't mean you're going to be happy clappy and like hug a tree and be happy all the time. No, you're going to get angry. You're going to get stressed. I am going to give you one last example before we wrap up of something that happened to me recently where I was experiencing, I would say probably a level 8 stressor. It's not at the level 10 that, my goodness, my entire life is about to change, but it was at a level 8 that if I did not deal with this situation, it would get to a level 10 and it would have been really, really bad. And this is how I dealt with the big stressor. And the reason why I dealt with the big stressor in this way is because I have trained my brain and my body, my focus, my life to respond to the small stressors, the level 1 stressors, in a level one way. I've learned to respond to small stressors in the way that is appropriate to the situation. I didn't go beyond and go crazy over something that's really, really small. So something went wrong the other day. It was a technical glitch, and I freaked out over it in my mind. Not, you know, at first when I learned about this issue, the first thing in my mind is, oh my goodness, I cannot believe this is happening. And when I say freak out, I mean that's how, what was going on in my mind. And then the second response that my body wanted to default to was pure anxiety and chaos. I felt that rising within my body. I felt that from the pit of my stomach and in my head, and I started to feel that stress in my body. And my default mechanism would be to react to it in a level 10 way. And I know from my experience, that is when you are in the death zone. You're in your head, you're dead. That is in the death zone. You are not going to find a solution. So what did I do? I stood back. I took a deep breath in. I accepted the way that I was feeling. Okay, Arabella, you're feeling this anxiety. You're feeling this acute amount of stress in your body right now, and it's okay. It's okay. Allow yourself to feel that. And I sat there and I breathed deeply and I allowed myself to let that feeling wash over me for just a few minutes. And I didn't react to the situation. I just allowed myself to feel those feelings. And I said, okay, now I've gotten that out of the way, let's find a solution. I took out my notepad and I wrote down what the problem is. And I started brainstorming all of these key factors as to why this is a problem. Why is it a problem? Why is it a problem? Then from that, I found out what caused this issue. Okay, this issue, I clicked this button accidentally. That's what caused this issue. How do I undo it? I wrote down the solution. These are the potential solutions. I wrote down list of potential solutions until I found one that I could that would solve the problem right now, quickly. There were other solutions that would solve the problem over 90 days, but this, I wanted it to be solved right now, today, right now, yesterday, pronto. And so I was able to. And then I circled, that's the solution. And the next thing I did, I got up, I took a deep breath, I allowed all the emotions and the feelings to wash over me. I got myself a nice cup of tea, I sat down, and I began working on the solution. Granted, it took me 16 hours of straight work to actually fix the problem I myself caused, but it was solved by 2 o'clock in the morning. And I went to bed and I felt peaceful and I felt happy. I didn't go off the handle. I didn't scream and shout. Yes, I was stressed out. I felt that anxiety, but I didn't react to it. And I was able to solve that problem within that day, pretty much. Now, if I had reacted to it at a level 10 level beyond, I would not have found that solution. And today, as we're speaking, the problem still would be prevalent and it would be way worse. It would be at a level 9 by now, you know, and in a week's time, it would have been at a level 10. And that would be the compounding effect of this issue. So that is the key to dealing with stress as a parent. That is the key to dealing with stress, even if you're not a parent. It's when you are experiencing a level 1 stressor, do not react to it in a level 10 way. And if that is your default, and I know it's a lot of your default, I used to be that person, which is why I can speak to you today on this subject. I used to be that. I used to react to level 1 issues at a level 10 level and nothing got solved. And it was just a cycle of endlessly having level 1 stressors, reacting to it in a level 10 way and being stuck in the exact same position as I ever was without my problems being solved. And I learned this, and I learned it quickly, and I began training my mind how to respond to things appropriately, how to emotionally regulate myself so that I would find solutions, that I wouldn't cause solution blindness to come over in my mind. Because when you react in a positive way, when you react in an appropriate way, when you react and you emotionally regulate yourself in those situations, wow, you will find a solution, and you will find a solution quickly, and the problem will be solved quickly. When you react to someone at Starbucks not giving you what you asked for in a positive way, they may say, you know what, I'm really sorry, here's a refund, the coffee is on me. But if you go over there and you chew their heads off, do you think they're going to want to give you a refund or something free or an extra piece of cake or something? Of course they're not. And that's happened to me before. I've been at a place where I've ordered something and say, hey, you forgot this. Like, I'm so sorry. Here's a dessert on me. It actually happened when I ate KFC once. And the manager herself came over and said, I apologize for the mistake that we make. Here, have some desserts on me. And here is an extra little token. The next time you come in, you will get a free dessert and a free fries. Great. Why did she do that? And why did the manager personally come over to me? Because I didn't chew the face off of the person who made the mistake. I said, that's okay. We're all human. We all make mistakes. I sent them love and peace instead of hate, instead of putting a label on them. And what I received back was tenfold to what I actually gave out. If you want to receive blessings in abundance, so abundant that your cup is overflowing with a love, with blessings, then you need to give that out into the world. And if that's not what you're giving out into the world, you will never receive that abundance and that peace and that happiness and that fulfillment that you are looking for in life. We all go through stress, ranging from a level 1 to a level 10 stress. How you respond to that stress will determine how peaceful and happy you will become in life. It will determine the quality of the relationships you have with the people that you cherish the most. It will determine everything in your life. So if there is unrest in your home, if there is unrest within your friendships, within your marriage, start by looking at the way you respond to small stressors. If you're married, your husband leaving the socks on the floor for the millionth time, do you respond to him in a level 10 way? You lazy so-and-so, why did I marry you, etc. Men, are you responding to your wife in that way? Are you labeling them? That's my ball and chain. How do you think your relationship's going to go when you label your significant others in that way? You say to your child, you're nothing but lazy. How do you think your child is going to respond when they are now believing that they're nothing but lazy because you told them enough times that they are nothing but lazy? Do you think that's going to make them want to be motivated to say, hey, I'm not lazy. I'll prove to you and I will go and clean the house today, Mom. Of course not. Your kid is going to slam the door and bar themselves in their room, and they're not going to want to ever open up to you or speak to you. It's going to cause emotional dysregulation and fractured relationships in your household. So deal with level 1 stressors at a level 1 level and deal with level 10 stressors in a way where you release the emotions that you are feeling and you are looking for solution. The key is to focus on a solution as the why. Put your detective hat on. Become a detective. Why did my child do this? Why did my husband not listen to me this time? Why did the person at Starbucks give me this when I asked for this? Why? The answer is not because they're trying to get at you, because they hate you, they're doing something to you. I'm going to finish this podcast off. I've run a little bit over time now by saying that If you are the type of person that reacts in that way, you overreact, you become emotionally dysregulated at these small stressors, then I would urge you to look deep inside yourself and perhaps seek some kind of talk therapy. And I'm not saying it's because you're crazy or anything. I've gone through talk therapy too. It's a way of talking out your feelings and getting to the root cause of why you react this way. You can even do this to yourself. You don't need to just see a counselor. You can do it with a best friend and say, you know what, I always seem to react at a level 10 to level 1 stresses. Can I talk to you about this so I can find some solutions as to perhaps why I do this? I did this not long ago with my own self, and I spoke to my loved one about this very issue and say, you know what, sometimes I feel like I get so stressed over these really small things and I want to find out why. And so after talking with them about it, I discovered the solution as to why. And why? Because I feel like I am out of control. I feel like this thing is happening to me rather than me happening to life. 9 times out of 10, I will guarantee you that is why you will react in that way, is because you feel that something's happening to you. You are not in control of that situation rather than being in control. And how do you get over feeling that way? You learn to emotionally regulate your own behavior. You take control of yourself. You cannot control your husband or your wife or your kid. The only person you can control in this life is yourself. That's how you overcome the feelings of being out of control. You control your own inner world first. You calm yourself down. You change your body state. You stand up. You breathe. Do some light exercise and write it down. Don't write it down on the computer. There's something that happens between the hand and the pen and the paper that causes new neurons to fire up in your brain that will help you find solutions. I handwrite everything down on a notepad for that reason. Your sensory perception between you holding the pen and writing the words allows your brain to open up and help find the solutions that you are seeking for. Control yourself first, and then your outer world will respond in turn. Thank you, parents, so much for listening today. I hope you've gotten a lot of value out of this and some food for thought out of this. If you're responding to level 10 stressors and or level 1 stressors in a level 10 way, start by changing your state of mind. Start by changing your focus. Become a detective. Ask the questions. Start by regulating your own emotions, by allowing those default anxiety, neurotic feelings to wash over you. Talk to yourself. It's okay. It's okay. This is not going to derail my life. This is not such a big problem that it's going to ruin my entire marriage or my whole family or anything else. I will find a solution to the problem. I feel this way now, but I won't feel this way forever. This is a temporary state. It has not ruined my life. Amen. That's how we get over feeling that way. And that's how we retrain our brain. And that's how we experience the peace and the happiness and the joy and the overflowing abundance we all deserve in our lives. Thank you so much. Tune in for the next episode. If you would like access to more parenting resources and a big supportive community, I'd like to invite you to our Facebook group, Victorious Parenting. I give regular content every single day, and we have a unit section where you can find all the best content. There are some short form and long form content in there, like the Grey Rock Method and how to deal with sibling rivalry. And as well, you'll get to be a part of a great big community of parents who are becoming victorious just like you. We'd love to have you join us in Victorious Parenting. Discover the 7 biggest mistakes parents make that can lower their child's self-esteem forever. Promotingselfesteem.com.